Okay. All right. We'll start over again. Good morning, everybody. We are in Joshua chapter 19. So we have seen we've kind of been working our way through. So we know that before the book of Joshua, 2.5 tribes east of the Jordan already received their inheritance, and the book of Joshua has reviewed that for us. Then we've seen the two major tribes west of the river receive their allotment, Judah and the sons of Joseph. And now we're in a section of the book that has started out in chapter 18 by saying that there were still 7 tribes left who could not receive their allotment. And that's going to be the subject of, well, really just chapters 18 and 19. So you'll see a lot of these tribes really just kind of get a footnote in Joshua. Chapter 18 focused on Benjamin. You'll remember that Benjamin was Jacob's favorite son. And the tribe of Benjamin borders on Judah, so Benjamin gets special attention. But then chapter 19, we're going to go through like the other 6 tribes. Right, so we've spent a lot of time focusing on just a few of the tribes, and then in one chapter we're going to get the other half of the tribes. So again, a lot of these guys are basically just going to get a footnote. Before we jump into chapter 19, let's go ahead and work on our map, and instead of just listing out all the tribes and putting them on, we're just going to put them on for the sake of time. But let's mix things up a little bit. Because this is good for memory. We know so far, let's start west of the river instead of east of the river, and instead of starting in the south, let's start in the north. Does anyone remember what this tribe is? It's Asher. Okay. Let's do an easier one. Immediately to the south of Asher. Does anyone remember what this tribal allotment is? Yeah, West Manasseh. All right, and remember the text told us to the east of West Manasseh is this tribe, which is Issachar. We'll abbreviate that. Let's see. To the south of West Manasseh, the other of Joseph's sons. So Joseph's first son is Manasseh. His second son is Ephraim. All right, the easy one. This is basically like, if this were bingo, this would be the free space. This is Judah. All right, and then east of the river, we'll go, trying to position myself out of everybody's way. We'll go north to south. What's this tribal allotment? East Manasseh. All right, and then immediately to the south of it, Gad. And then finally, on the far south of the east side, is Reuben. So it always helps if you, you know, kind of classify them the way that the Bible has, where you've got the 2.5 tribes on the east. And if you remember those three, again, that gives you a big chunk of territory. Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Then you can fill in a lot of things around that. So we're going to add to this. Oh, I forgot. We added one more last week right here. We were just talking about him. Benjamin. All right, it's kind of a smallish space on here, so I'm just going to put B for Benjamin. Now, we've not read about Asher or Issachar yet. And then there are 3 more allotments beside that, plus 1 more allotment inside of Judah that we're going to read about right now. Joshua chapter 19, verse 1. The second lot came out for Simeon, for the tribe of the people of Simeon, according to their clans, and their inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the people of Judah. And they had for their inheritance Beersheba, Sheba, Molada, Hazar Shual, Bala, Ezem, El Talad, Betul, Horma, Ziklag, Bet Markabot, Hazar Suza, Bet Labaot, and Sharuhen, 13 cities with their villages. Ain, Rimon, Ether, and Ashan, 4 cities with their villages, together with all the villages around these cities as far as Baalat Beer, Ramah of the Negev. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Simeon, according to their clans. The inheritance of the people of Simeon formed part of the territory of the people of Judah. Because the portion of the people of Judah was too large for them, the people of Simeon obtained an inheritance in the midst of their inheritance. All right, so Simeon is a weird case. Obviously, the most notable thing about Simeon's territory is that it falls entirely inside of Judah. So we'll put Simeon down here. This is roughly the area that Simeon would have occupied. And one thing that we notice about Simeon's description is that in every other tribe, we've essentially been given two different lists. You have a list of all of the major cities within that tribal allotment. But before that, you usually get, in fact, for all of these tribes, we have received a description of its border. And it usually goes by cities. It includes a few other, like, physical landmarks, things like, you know, the river and the sea. And there was some rock somewhere down in here that was one of the boundary markers. But by and large, it's another list of cities. What do you notice about Simeon's description? It only includes a city list. There's no boundary description. Like, where does Simeon end and Judah begin? We have no idea. Right? The scripture does not indicate. Right? In fact, sometimes if you're looking at the back, like one of the maps in the back of your Bible, some of them will draw like a solid line around Simeon as if there is some clear division between Simeon and Judah. But a lot of the maps that know that what they're doing. In fact, let me see what this one does. Yeah, like in this one, and I think a lot of ESVs are this way. In mine, there is an area that it's kind of it's got fuzzy edges, and it's just kind of shaded over, like striped, with a color for Simeon and with a color for Judah, indicating that, hey, there's some ambiguity here. Because honestly, we're not told where Simeon ends and where Judah begins. In fact, the way that Simeon is treated, they're treated like Levi. Like, we'll see the description for Levi in just a few chapters. With Levi, hey, remember, Levi gets no inheritance in the land. Instead, you know, we're told in several places their inheritance is the Lord, their inheritance is the sacrifices. But what physical locations does Levi get? Cities. They're going to get a collection of, I think, 42 cities, if I remember right. And they're going to be scattered throughout Israel. And so when we get to Levi, we're just going to get a list of cities. And Simeon has been treated in that same way. Is we just get a list of cities that belong to them, along with their villages. We don't know how much intermingling there would have been between Judah and Simeon. We suppose probably a lot of intermingling, because we hit a point in the Old Testament where the Bible just stops talking about the tribe of Simeon. I don't remember off the top of my head where that is. Simeon is more or less just going to disappear. All right, Wayne.
city. I don't know if it is true. Maybe it's not the right, maybe it's not the same city.
Uh-huh.
But the saying that we often hear is from Dan to Beersheba.
To Beersheba, yeah.
And Beersheba's listed
is,
here.
Yeah, it's on the
that
list.
That would be the southernmost city. So that would be way down here in the south.
Yes.
And nowhere near where you got it pointed there.
People have to be able to see it. So, yeah, Simeon is on the southern end of Judah's tribal boundary. It is basically on the southern side of Judah. And I do believe that is the same city. So, good point. Let's see. The other thing to remember. Let's see. Oh, yes. Interesting detail here. At the end of Simeon's tribal description, why do they end up in the midst of Judah? The text gives us a reason at the very end of verse 9. Yeah, because Judah was too large. Now, hold on just a second. Because... all right, first off, we know that Judah is the most populous tribe out of all of them, right? We saw that in the census lists in the book of Numbers. Judah's enormous. What complaint did we just read about in chapter 17? The sons of Joseph came to Joshua and said, "We ain't got enough room. We're such a big tribe. You didn't give us enough space. You just gave us one allotment." And remember, Joshua has to straighten them out and say, "Well, if you're out of space, go cut down some trees. Right? Go conquer some Canaanites. Quit complaining at me. Right? Go do your job." And this really puts the lie to what the sons of Joseph have said. They come to Joshua and complain they don't have enough space. Whereas Judah, and there are, you know, I should have gone back and added up the numbers. If I remember correctly off the top of my head, there's more of Judah than there are of Joseph. And yet Judah's got too much space. So much so that they can fit in a whole extra tribe. So again, it just puts the lie to what the sons of Joseph were saying in their complaint. It was entirely baseless. All right, let's continue on to Zebulun. And I want us to at least get through the remainder of the tribal inheritance before we do additional questions and comments, because a lot of these, again, are going to come by pretty briefly. Not a lot of detail to look at. All right, so verse 10. The third lot came up for the people of Zebulun according to their clans. And the territory of their inheritance reached as far as Sarid. Then their boundary goes up westward and on to Marial and touches Dabeshet, then the brook that is east of Yokneam. From Sarid, it goes in the other direction eastward toward the sunrise to the boundary of Kislot Tabor. From there, it goes to Dabarat, then up to Yapia. From there, it passes along on the east toward the sunrise to Gat Hefer, to Eth Kazin, and going on to Rimmon, it bends toward Neah. Then on the north, the boundary turns about to Hanaton, and it ends at the valley of Iftahel. And Katat, Nahalal, Shimron, Idalah, and Bethlehem, 12 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the people of Zebulun according to their clans, these cities with their villages. All right. And before you ask, different Bethlehem. This is not Bethlehem in Judah, because Zebulun is not anywhere near Judah. Zebulun is this inheritance right here. So, Bethlehem in Judah is down here. There's another Bethlehem, because the name Bethlehem just means house of bread. How many houses have bread? It's not an uncommon place name in antiquity. Let's see. I think that was all I wanted to note about Zebulun, other than placing it on the map. Verse 17, Issachar. The fourth lot came out for Issachar, for the people of Issachar according to their clans. Their territory includes Jezreel, Kesulot, Shunem, Hepharaim, Shion, Anaharat, Rabit, Kishion, Ebez, Remet, Enganim, Enhada, Bet-Pazez. The boundary also touches Tabor, Shahazamah, and Bet-Shemesh, and its boundary ends at the Jordan. 16 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Issachar, according to their clans, the cities with their villages. All right, so we have already placed Issachar on the map. One of the important places to remember out of this list is Jezreel. And this is just something to kind of file away in the back of your mind for classes in the far future. Jezreel is going to become way more important during the period of the divided kingdom, because some of the northern kings are going to come from Jezreel and are going to have... Even the ones that don't come from Jezreel have pretty close associations with Jezreel. So just file that away in the back of your head that some of the northern kings, at least, are going to come from Issachar. Let's see. Asher, verse 24. The fifth lot came out for the tribe of the people of Asher, according to their clans. Their territory included Helkat, Hali, Beten, Akshap, Alamelech, Amad, and Mishal. On the west, it touches Carmel and Shihor Libnat. Then it turns eastward. It goes to Beth Dagon and touches Zebulun and the valley of Iphtahel northward to Beth Emek and Nael. Then it continues in the north to Kabul, Ebron, Rehob, Hamon, Cana, as far as Sidon the Great. Then the boundary turns to Ramah, reaching to the fortified city of Tyre. Then the boundary turns to Hosa, and it ends at the sea. Mahalab, Achzib, Uma, Aphek, and Rehob, 22 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Asher, according to their clans, these cities with their villages. All right, we already have Asher up on the map. Couple of things to note here. Bet Dagon, House of Dagon. All right, you might remember the name Dagon from much later on in Israel's history, one of the pagan gods. And here Asher has a city named House of Dagon. You probably recognize a couple of the other city names as well, like Tyre and Sidon. These places will become important and during the United Kingdom period. Remember, Solomon, King Solomon, has a lot of dealings with the king of Tyre. In fact, Solomon, we'll read later on, actually donates some Israelite land to the king of Tyre, which, again, should stop and make you think, wait a second. Why is there even a king of Tyre? Right? If Tyre falls within Asher's tribal allotment, what's supposed to happen to the king of Tyre? Right? He's supposed to be gone. Tyre is supposed to become an Israelite city. It's not supposed to be an independent city-state with its own pagan king. And yet, again, we just know from later history that that does not happen with the city of Tyre. The text doesn't note that here, but Tyre and Sidon are both, you know, major points of non-Israelite influence in the north of Israel later on in Israel's history. Let's see. Oh, and I almost forgot. We know somebody from Israelite history who's from Tyre, In fact, a member of the royal family in Tyre. Her name's Jezebel. So, again, that gives you an indication of where things are going for Israel. We've got Tyre in the tribal allotment list for Asher, and yet we know lots of bad stuff comes out of Tyre. All right, Naphtali. The sixth lot came out for the people of Naphtali, according to their clans. And their boundary ran from Helef, from the oak in Za'ananim, and Adami Necheb in Yabneel, as far as Lachum. And it ended at the Jordan. Then the boundary turns westward to Asnot Tabor, and goes from there to Hukok, touching Zebulun at the south, and Asher on the west. And this is an odd description here. I think I'd missed this. Judah on the east at the Jordan. The fortified cities are Zidim, Zer, Hamat, Rakat, Kinneret, Adama, Rama, Hazor, Kadesh, Edrei, En Hazor, Yeron, Migdal El, Horem, Bet Anat, and Bet Shemesh. 19 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Naphtali according to their clans, the cities with their villages. And I have to apologize because somehow I have gone this entire time missing that reference to Judah in verse 34. And off the top of my head, I do not know how to explain that. Because Naphtali goes right here, which, as you can see, is nowhere near Judah. And we have already read that all of these tribal allotments have their eastern border at the Jordan. So I don't think we're supposed to imagine that there's a strip of land that runs all of these miles down the west bank of the Jordan until it touches Judah. I'll have to research that and get back to y'all. Again, I apologize for that. I don't know how I missed that. Apart from that, any questions or comments about the tribal inheritances for everybody except Dan? We're going to get to Dan in just a second. Dan is a special case. But we've been through Zebulun, Issachar, and Asher, and Naphtali. Any questions or comments about them? Okay, so let's turn to Dan. Dan is a fun story. Verse 40. The seventh lot came out for the tribe of the people of Dan, according to their clans. And their territory of its the territory of its inheritance included Zorah, Eshtaol, Ir Shemesh, Sha'alabin, Aijalon, Itla, Elon, Timna, Ekron, Elteke, Gibbeton, Baalat, Yehud, Beneberak, Gat Rimon, and Meyarkon and Rakon, with the territory over against Joppa. Let's stop there for just a second. Let's go ahead and place Dan on the map first. Because up to this point, Dan's tribal allotment sounds a whole lot like everybody else's. All right, so it's right here on the north of Judah. It's west of Ephraim and Benjamin, right here along the coast. One thing we should note, by the way, is that a lot of this territory along the coast, we read this a bit when we were talking about Judah. What people lives along the coast here? They give Israel a lot of trouble. The Philistines. All right, and in fact, Ekron, for example, is a Philistine city. Aijalon might be as well. But a big chunk of Dan's territorial allotment, tribal allotment, is right up against the Philistines, which might give us some motive or some understanding for what happens next, because all of a sudden this tribal allotment is not going to be like any of the others. Verse 47. When the territory of the people of Dan was lost to them, the people of Dan went up and fought against Leshem. And after capturing it and striking it with the sword, they took possession of it and settled in it, calling Leshem Dan, after the name of Dan, their ancestor. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the people of Dan according to their clans, these cities with their villages. All right, the book of Joshua doesn't give us the story. The book of Judges will. And let me tell you, it is absolutely scandalous what happens. Already, though, even this text should scandalize us a bit. When the territory of the people of Dan was lost to them. What? What are you talking about? When the territory was lost to them. What have we read? I mean, we've read this over and over and over again, both in the law and in the book of Joshua. How long is Israel's inheritance supposed to last in the land? Forever. It is supposed to be a permanent inheritance. Like, that's the whole reason behind the Jubilee laws. Right? They're not even supposed to permanently sell land between them, because it is to be a perpetual inheritance. We read recently about the daughters of Zelophehad. Some of the clans of Manasseh. And remember, there's this concern because, you know, their dad is dead and he didn't have any sons. And they're afraid that their clan is going to lose their inheritance. That's not supposed to happen. And so the Lord lets the daughters inherit. And then the rest of Manasseh is worried that if the daughters marry outside of the tribe of Manasseh, that then their land is going to go to some of the other tribes. And so God requires that those daughters marry inside of the tribe of Manasseh, so that that land stays in Manasseh forever. And yet here we are with Dan. And it's kind of funny to me that that the book of Joshua doesn't feel like this really needs explaining or anything. It just kind of casually drops, yeah, when the territory of the people of Dan was lost to them. Like, this isn't even the main clause of the sentence. This is a dependent clause. It's not even the focus of the sentence. Then the people of Dan went up and fought against Leshem and captured it and renamed it Dan after their ancestors. So a whole tribe gets basically shrunk down to one city. And it is actually the city of Dan. This is something that always confused me as a kid. We'll just draw a big circle right here. I'm kind of running out of room. It's north of the Sea of Galilee. I think I've told some of you this. Right? Like, as a kid growing up, I was always confused about the city of Dan and the tribe of Dan, and I thought the city of Dan was just the tribe of Dan. But then I realized, wait a minute, there's a territorial holding down here called Dan. That's got to be the tribe of Dan. Well, it turns out that the city actually is Dan, because Dan, for reasons that we will read about later in the book of Judges, Dan bails on their tribal inheritance. And they pack up, and they move up here, and they conquer a city in the within the tribal allotment of Naphtali. And again, the whole thing just ends up being a complete scandal. And I think maybe one of the only reasons why we don't talk about it more is because the book of Judges is absolutely full of scandals. And you've got Samson on the one hand. You know, you've got, like, the story of Samson is before the story of Dan. And Samson, of course, has got all of these, you know, juicy details in it. Makes it a great story. And then immediately after the story of the tribe of Dan, you've got the Levite's concubine, which is maybe the most scandalous story in the entire Bible. And so what happens with Dan kind of gets passed over. But trust me, when we get there, your jaw is going to hit the floor. In fact, it's one of these things, the author of Judges is really good at setting up punchlines. The story for Dan is a story with a punchline at the end of it. And when we hit it, like, don't read ahead. Don't spoil it for yourself. Because when we get there, you will not see this punchline coming. Like, it's crazy. It's nuts. So, we'll try to get there as quickly as we can. All right, so any questions or comments up to this point about what little we've read about Dan so far? Okay, so let's finish up by reading about the inheritance for Joshua. Verse 49. When they had finished distributing the several territories of the land as inheritances, the people of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua, the son of Nun. By command of the Lord, they gave him the city that he asked, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. And he rebuilt the city and settled in it. These are the inheritances that Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel distributed by lot at Shiloh before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So they finished dividing the land. All right, so you get the sense we're at a major concluding point in the book. All right, this kind of bookends what we had read at the beginning of this section where we're told about, and we're basically told this exact information. That the Lord has made his name to dwell in Shiloh, and that he commands Joshua to divide the land up, and we know that Eleazar is going to be involved, and that the heads of the fathers' houses will be involved. So this brings all of that to a close. Basically, what we've read from chapter 13 forward has now been brought to a close. And Joshua himself gets an inheritance. This is kind of a neat thing. The whole text has been about Joshua and Eleazar and the heads of the fathers' houses giving the inheritance by lot to the rest of the sons of Israel. And now here at the end, that's kind of reversed. It's the sons of Israel who give Joshua an inheritance, a return on his leadership, as it were. And so they give him this city, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. All right, so that places him, again, somewhere in this territory, here in the center of Israel. So that wraps up a whole lot for us. And in fact, I think that's a convenient place to stop, because it is 10:35. Next week, we will pick up with the cities of refuge and the Levite cities. And then from there, there is, I think, one last closing narrative, and then Joshua's speech to Israel, and then we are ready to move into all of the scandalous stuff in the book of Judges. So we'll have a lot of fun there. Any final questions or comments before we wrap up for the day? All right, thank you so much for your kind attention this morning.